This is Advanced D&D, a podcast not about Dungeons & Dragons on WUKY, hosted by Dan Wu and DeBron Thomas. In this episode, we'll be talking a little bit about things going on in the news, also catch up on the new Halsey album, talk some comic book things, and, well, just a lot more. It's coming up right here on Advanced D&D on WUKY. Well, Dan, we're back at it again. This is episode 27, and I feel... every time you're like, ooh, I'm feeling a little bit better, the news is just like, nah.
Nope. Gonna give it to you. I feel like there's long-term news that we've been dealing with for, you know, going on 2 years now, and that's pandemic. And then we've got even longer news. I actually, if you think about Afghanistan in those terms, we've been, you know, thinking or not thinking about Afghanistan for 20 years, and now it's really heavily in the news. And then you have just like random other stuff like hurricanes. Right now, a lot of the talk on the COVID front has been about booster shots. They are soon, I think, looking at approval and guidance on getting booster shots. That's the third shot for a lot of people, second shot for the J&J. And they're talking about doing it 8 months from your second shot, which for a lot of people is coming up pretty fast. Israel has been doing 5 months after the second shot, and Biden and the administration are considering that also. There's some mixed messaging or mixed news on the research front as to, do we need a booster yet? How much of this is potential profiteering or... you know, these medical companies, pharmaceutical companies trying to make some money. I think it feels like from the stuff that I've read, we do need a booster. We may or may not need it right now. So it's kind of an interesting thing. I think for people who have gotten the shots and have been serious about this pandemic, we will go get those shots. And unfortunately, those who won't, I mean, they haven't gotten their first shot, and I don't think that anything like this will change their mind.
I'm going to go with what Dr. Fauci said. You know, he said, you know, 5 and now recently said 8. Honestly, I don't know about you, but I really would love to be with my family again. So, you know, I understand we live in a capitalist society, and when that booster is available, I'm going to be in line as soon as it is available for me to do so. But, you know, well, I think also, too, looking at all of these new variants that are coming out now, I'm kind of worried, and I don't know about you, but I'm kind of shifting back into even more kind of lockdown for my personal sake, just because I'm so worried about everything that's going on right now.
Yeah, it is stressful and also just frustrating that we're still in it. Speaking of we're still in it, we are, as of this recording, we're a day away from the final day of troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. And I've heard a couple of think pieces and you know, people smarter than me talking about this Afghanistan situation and how the administration kind of went about it backwards. Because if you plan a withdrawal like this, the first thing you do, not the last thing or the... thing you forget about, the first thing you do is to get the humanitarian sort of refugee situation taken care of first. You fly all of those people out first, then you start moving out civilian American government folks. Then lastly, you move out the military. And they've kind of gone out a little bit out of order in this situation. And what that's creating is a potential influx of Afghan refugees. On the good news side, there are 98 countries, including the U.S., that are accepting Afghan refugees. On the bad news side, I don't know that we're going to get any more out of Afghanistan right now, given A, the suicide bomb attack that happened just a few days ago. And now there's been a in-kind drone strike by the United States that apparently has killed civilians, including children. So I don't know, like our goal, it seems like the administration's MO is to get out of Dodge no matter what, but we also can't not react. two attacks against us at the airport. So on the one hand, we're sailing down. On the other hand, we're kind of also escalating. It's a very fraught situation.
There are so many complex things going on here, you know, from the way we are withdrawing to the whole thing with the previous administration kind of forcing us into this awkward situation with the new administration basically saying, like, you know, it doesn't matter, we're getting out. Yeah, war is not anything that, you know, that's fun or particularly pleasant. And especially when you go in with no real strategy and you leave with no real strategy, these things are going to happen. And I'm just like, I feel like especially with COVID and everything that's been going on here on our side of the United States, I'm just tired of so much death. I'm so tired of just hearing, especially when it's things like this that are easily preventable. It's so frustrating, and I wish that there were better ways to do things, which there probably are, but I am not informed enough to really kind of give a strategic you know, opinion on that. But I will say that it does not, like, history will look back at this as a complex failure and nothing more than that, I think.
Speaking of history repeats itself, or here we go again, on the 16th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Ida is hitting Louisiana and very hard. The good news is so far there doesn't seem to be a lot of casualties and injuries. Bad news is about 1 million people are out of power, have lost electricity. So, you know, it always feels like, I mean, the news that we talked about with Haiti, it always feels like the people who can deal with it the least get hit the most.
So I will say, speaking to technology, it is pretty amazing given just how much things have advanced between Katrina and now. And one of the things that I'm seeing on, you know, various social media feeds are, you know, even people without power are still kind of figuring out ways to communicate to other people to let people know what they need with GoFundMes and, you know, all kinds of mutual aid situations. So if there is a bright part of this, it's the fact that we as people are resilient, and, you know, technology is at a point right now where, you know, hopefully these things can be, you know, people can be supported in ways that they hadn't been in the past. But I very much am concerned for that area, and I don't want to see a repeat of what happened after Katrina was gone, where there were all these people who were just without homes, without power, without, you know, a place to live. And, you know, you see all of this aid go other places and they're dealing with this right now. So I'm hoping that we don't have a repeat of that moving forward.
Yeah. My other sort of side hope of what doesn't repeat is, I'd like to not hear from Kanye West on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even going to listen to his new album. So, you know, there is that. Well, speaking of things happening here in Kentucky, as you may or may not know, the Kentucky Supreme Court finally gave a verdict on an injunction that was made earlier this year between the General Assembly basically trying to strip the governor of the power during emergency situations. And at this point now, with the way that the, you know, the injunction and the ruling is, Beshear's hands are tied and it is up to the legislative body to make a decision on these things. Here is the thing about it. They do not meet until February. And if Beshear were to call a special session, it would cost taxpayers $65,000 per day. So let me just to give that to you again, $65,000 per day. And as a former professional organizer, I have spent a lot of time in Frankfurt. I have spent a lot of time in the halls of the Capitol building. And let me tell you, with things that I cannot repeat, there are a lot of those people that don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about you. They don't care about their constituents. And this is all just a, you know, a play to continue to get power. And as I said before, I'm very concerned with how many people are going to get sick and potentially lose their lives because of this weird contest that the Republican Party wants to have without also really understanding the further repercussions and precedent that's going to be set from this. Because what happens when there's a Republican governor? You know, these are a lot of questions that are unanswered. And so I have been filled with an incredible amount of rage ever since this came out, because I really worry about a lot of people who are going to get sick and not be protected unnecessarily because of this.
Yeah, one of the bright spots that have come out of this year and a half has been our leadership on the state level, that we don't end up in the national news like Florida and Texas. And a big part of that has been, you know, our governor being able to kind of hold the line on science and medicine and the public welfare. I don't know legally if there are other ways to challenge this, or if the Kentucky Supreme Court at this point is like the be all end all, and this is it, and our governor has been hobbled in terms of his executive powers and emergency powers. I really hope not, but I don't know. We'll see. My one glimmer of hope is that his sort of leadership and attitude may trickle down to the people that live in this state that have a general idea of like, oh, we did these safeguards and these things and it's kept us safe. So no matter what comes out of Frankfurt, we're going to stay on this road, hopefully.
Just remember, 18 months and the best plan that they have so far is giving away vouchers for pizza. So these are the kind of people we're dealing with. And, you know, look at their voting record. You know, you can call your legislator and you know, ask them to do the right thing. But, you know, we're in for a bumpy road. So, you know, try to stay positive as best you can. Well, moving into some things that hopefully are a little bit more fun to talk about, let's talk music. Dan, what have you been grooving to for the last week?
So I put her in the category of people I like a lot in genres that I don't. And Halsey has been one of my favorites, and I'm usually not into sort of that kind of mainstream pop kind of vibe. She's always had an interesting sort of place in my ear. And her new album called If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power, is definitely a step towards my my preferences. It is produced by Trent Reznor and his film soundtrack partner and bandmate Atticus Ross, and you can definitely hear the influences in there, from the tinkling sort of haunting piano notes to the sort of somewhere between dance and industrial and scary soundtrack music of the old to mid Nine Inch Nails days. It really, really works for her, and it takes it to sort of a new level of just like dark and interesting. And of course, with her phenomenal, you know, vocal presence as well. So it kind of toggled between some ballads, including one that almost sounded like what I would consider a very listenable modern country, like pop country ballad almost, that, and then some slightly dancier numbers, nothing too sunny. And then definitely some interesting sort of electro stuff with a bunch of noise behind it. So really, really enjoy it. It's going to be my, I think, binge listening for the next couple of weeks.
Her performance on SNL last year was really incredible. So I'm looking forward to checking it out and kind of hearing her continued, you know, evolution as an artist. And also, just speaking to Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for a minute, like, they've had a really great couple of years because of Old Town Road and Soul. You know, good on them for getting work and still being influential.
Yeah, I also appreciate when they got the Oscar for the soundtrack for Soul, they basically didn't say a damn word and let John Batiste just take over that acceptance speech. I appreciated that very much. It's kind of a literal interpretation of making space. Like, a lot of people talk about making space, they made some actual space, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, so if you're paying attention, that's how to do it. Well, you know, for me, I definitely have been grooving a lot to Krangbin, especially since they played recently here in Lexington, kind of leading up to that. I was listening to a lot of their music. Earth, Wind, and Fire actually has a new single out. It is called You Want My Love and features Lucky Day. And the song, of course, was also co-written by Babyface. So, you know it's going to be good if he's doing anything on it. And long awaited, Kendrick Lamar announced over the last few weeks that he is going to getting ready to release his final album at Top Dog Entertainment. So does that mean we're going to get new Kendrick Lamar soon? You know, To Pimp a Butterfly and Damn were both incredible albums. And I think that for each record defined, you know, by the particular time around it. But I think it's time we need some more Kendrick. Well, moving on to one of my favorite segments on this podcast, This Week in Anderson .Paak. Well, This Week in Anderson .Paak, the city of Oxnard, California, presented him with a certificate of recognition for his work in the community. With his nonprofit .Paak House, they do community work, you know, community gatherings and concerts. Of course, some of these things have kind of been put on pause because of COVID, but the man's doing a lot of really good work in his home city. And also for his positive influence. So good on him. You know, he owns a sushi restaurant now and is getting awards from his hometown. Well, that's life right there.
I was going to say .Paak House actually sounds like a restaurant. So he could totally, I don't know, sell some Korean pancakes out of there or something. I don't know.
It could happen, and you know that the background, it would be Korean pancakes with like nothing but Whitney Houston and Eric Badu in the background. So we just have to make sure that when that does happen, that we both go there at the same time. All right. Well, moving into TV and movies, there's lots of interesting news, especially revolving around a particular game show that has been happening over the last week.
Yeah, a lot of news over a show that's not airing and actually at the moment not taping. There was a lot of controversy swirling around the selection of its new hosts, the primary host of which is Mike Richards, the executive producer of the show. And apparently I did a little background and he has hosted some other shows in the past. And the general consensus on him is he's okay. Kind of bland white guy, like not memorable. And in fact, when his name was announced, most people were like, who? He has promptly stepped down after, guess what, old comments of his have surfaced where he has denigrated, I think, Jewish people, poor people, just, you know, other, you know, the classic punching down situation. So he has stepped away. They have not replaced him yet. And now there are also some problematic things coming out from the guest and special events host, Mayim Bialik. Apparently she's one of those, I mean, she's what, a neuroscientist, but also anti-vax? Like, I don't have the mental dexterity to do those somersaults to tell you what's happening there, but yeah, so Jeopardy is still in Jeopardy.
Well, and I you know, one of the other things that I read as well was that they had never even actually considered LeVar Burton, even though there was a lot of, support for him. And it is just very sad. And one question that I have not seen really kind of clarified is, so Mike Richards is no longer hosting, but is he still a producer of the show? That's my biggest question.
He is still the executive producer. That is correct. And the revelation about LeVar Burton is just like classic pulling back of the curtains. Like, of course they didn't consider him whatsoever. They were just trying to get the masses to shut up by giving them just a little glimpse of what people wanted. And the thing that boggles my mind is you're a commercial endeavor. You're trying to make money. Something like Jeopardy is fairly non-controversial give the, what's wrong with a little fan service right here? I don't understand the downside from a pure capitalist point of view. I don't understand the downside of giving people what they want. If you put LeVar Burton in there, you know your ratings are going to shoot up because that's what people wanted. Not Mike Richards. Ugh.
Yeah, when you said Mike Richards and people were like, who? I was like, and even people who say who know who Mike Jones is. So,
It's a whole lot. In other news, I got to go out to the theaters, and I don't know if we talked about this on air, but my COVID era recommendation for going to the theaters is to catch the first showing on a Sunday, because you will generally be one of 4 to 6 to 8 people in the theater. It feels fairly safe. You don't get that sort of crowd energy, especially for a horror movie like Candyman, where it's so fun to just everybody jumps at once or everybody laughs at once. Candyman, the spiritual and actually kind of an actual sequel in terms of linear storytelling and sort of canonical timeline to the 90s movie Candyman, which I either haven't seen or simply haven't seen in 30 years. Neil DaCosta directed it, and it was very entertaining. It tried to tackle a lot of political, socio-political sort of issues occasionally in kind of blunt ways. But definitely a more thought out horror movie than your average one, and certainly nothing less than what you would expect from something that's produced and co-written by Jordan Peele.
Also, shout out to Tony Todd. I mean, the dude's a legend. Well, you know, starting with some sad news, you know, we lost Ed Asner over the weekend, an incredible actor whose career goes back generations. But especially if you are if you're around my age, you know, millennial ish, you may remember him most as the voice of J. Jonah Jameson on the Spider-Man animated series. Of course, he did the voice of Freakazoid. He was also Master Rook in Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. He, of course, was also the titular character in the film Up. And that's just like a small portion of what he did over his long career. He's somebody that I, you know, when I started following him on Twitter, I was just like, oh man, Ed Asner, I love this man. What a treasure. And, his presence is very much missed. So rest in power to the late Ed Asner. In terms of TV, that I've been watching over the last week, of course, caught up, on, the, DC and, series Titans. And, it is one of those things that kind of brings me back to this conversation around, like, people, you know, I feel like my whole life people have been like, oh, are you a DC fan or are you a Marvel fan? And personally, I'm both. I do lean a little bit more towards Marvel because just because there are a couple more characters that I grew up with. But for the most part, I love them both equally, and I kind of view them differently. And especially with the DC expanded universe and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I feel like DC's misstep was trying to catch up to Marvel instead of just doing their own thing. So they've been doing some original live action programs that started out on their app, the DC Extended Universe, which has now been folded into HBO Max. They've got Doom Patrol, and there are a couple of other shows on there. That very much, I feel, is the lane of some of their great storytelling. And it's just an entertaining series that is a little bit dark, but it's not like everything's depressing all the time dark.
Yeah, I will say this about sort of Marvel versus DC. I think very often for us as kids, it's kind of which book do we pick up first? And we've somehow imprinted onto them. I remember my first comic book I picked up from a little rotating rack in like the campus bookstore on, I think, Western Kentucky University's campus when I was there one year for a camp when I was a kid. And I picked up an X-Men. And I think this was in the Mutant Massacre / Brood era, you know, of the late 80s. And I was locked in from there. So sometimes it's almost like sports teams. It's like where you happen to grow up or who your parents cheer for. I know as an adult, I have read my share of DC books, but not because I was into DC, but because I was following certain writers like Grant Morrison, for example, on his Superman, All-Star Superman run. So it was almost more happenstance or sort of completism that I was trying to read more Grant Morrison and then happened across some Superman.
Yeah, I feel that for sure. Let's talk a little bit about Marvel's What If. I don't think that we've had an opportunity to speak to the last episode. So there have been two episodes since the last time we talked. One was the What If Star-Lord was T'Challa, which, you know, featured T'Challa voiced by the late, great Chadwick Boseman. I waited a few days to even watch it. I still haven't watched Ma Rainey's Black Bottom because I just can't visualize the thought of seeing the last thing he was in yet. And, you know, of course, the most recent episode was What If, you know, Earth's Mightiest Heroes were all killed. So really interesting storytelling. I love the animation style. And I think that this is a really great avenue for Marvel to tell some other stories. What about you?
Yeah, I enjoyed the Star-Lord episode, if for no other reason than to see Thanos reduced to a thug crew member of the Ravagers, and that was it. I was like, oh, okay, he's just, you know, and if you didn't know anything about comic books and you just saw him, you would think he was the heavy of the team, as he naturally was. Also, interesting, complete 180 they did on the Collector. In the MCU movies, he was just this kind of like weird little Benicio del Toro performance that kind of didn't do a whole lot. And now he's the super powerful being that has a really great collection of weapons. A quick, you know, Easter eggs, you'll see Cap's shield and Mjolnir and Hela's helmet. I mean, just all the great stuff. The most recent episode, spoiler warnings, it basically kind of killed off most of the Avengers before they became Avengers even. And I think a couple of kills in, I was thinking Ant-Man? I was like, that'd be a great assassin because nobody sees you coming. You can literally go into somebody's brain. And it turned out it wasn't Ant-Man. It was the original Ant-Man, but kind of turned villain from a personal revenge vendetta kind of point of view. The Loki as Nick Fury little gag was very entertaining. I do like overall this show of just playing out these like literal, you know, just what if kind of scenarios. I love the idea, like what if you didn't have all of these major top tier heroes to defend the planet against, you know, Loki.
Yeah, and I think that just the way that like some of those things played out, because of course if you've seen the movies, you know, you kind of have a flow for what you know is going to happen. And I mean, yeah, these stories are told very quickly because they're, you know, it's 30 minutes, but it's a lot of fun, I think. And I'm looking forward to seeing more because we're going to have four episodes with Chadwick Boseman, so there are three more episodes where we'll see a version of his T'Challa. So I'm looking forward to that, and you know, it's just a lot of fun. Now, one other Marvel question I do have specifically for you. I remember when Black Panther came out, and I remember just the feeling of just like, oh, this is finally a movie written by us, for us, and like big budget, like, you know, and I mean, I'm still doing the Wakanda Forever salute. And I know that that after Black Widow came out, Marvel had said that they were not going to stream any of their movies in theaters and on Disney Plus at the same time. So, you know, Shang-Chi has an opportunity to do something very similar for a different community, as Black Panther did for us. But they're not going to put it on streaming as well. Do you think that that's a mistake?
You know, it comes from sort of, in my mind, the way I think about it is almost like an idealism versus pragmatism. The idealist cinephile in me says, show it on the big screen first. I do not want to watch an action spectacle of that scale on my laptop or even on my TV at home. The pragmatic part of me says, get as many eyeballs on it as possible, including all those folks for various reasons, you know, like yourself, who don't want to go to the movie theaters yet, don't feel good about it yet. So honestly, for me, my preference would be put it out in every way that you can. Like right now is a tough time for these kind of companies who have sunk this amount of money into these projects to make it back. But you're not gonna necessarily push people to the theaters because it's not available elsewhere. I think there are plenty of people who will wait. And especially, we have waited a long time for a lot of this stuff. So many things have been delayed for months, if years. And I think people will continue to wait. And to me, anything that kind of keeps promoting public safety is also a good thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, this might be, other than Black Widow, the first Marvel movie since the first Iron Man that I don't see in the theaters opening weekend. So we'll see. I still have yet to make a decision myself, but we'll see about it. Well, let's move into books. What you've been reading over the last week?
So I sometimes have a problem where when I follow a graphic novel series, when the new book comes out, I have to go to the library and borrow all the old ones because by then it's been months and I've forgotten about it. So the latest example of this is Oblivion Song, a really great sort of fantasy post-apocalyptic-ish series by Robert Kirkman of Walking Dead fame, Kentuckian, right?
Yeah.
And artist Lorenzo DeFelici. Oblivion Song is about this very interesting premise where suddenly we have opened a hole to another dimension and a big chunk of Philadelphia is swapped for that other dimension. So suddenly one moment, a big chunk of Philadelphia is now this weird other planet with weird other creatures. And then the people from that neighborhood of Philadelphia are now in the middle of this other planet. And then sort of the things that happen afterwards, people traveling back and forth trying to rescue people, people establishing a new civilization in this alternative world called Oblivion. And it just kind of keeps going and going. And the larger thing that I wanted to talk about was, it's hard for me to read graphic novels anymore without picturing it as a TV series or a Netflix adaptation or a movie, and immediately sort of in my head starting to cast it. For you, what have been some of your favorite adaptations from either book or comic book into movies, or what things would you like to see adapted, and what kind of problems do you see when they adapt stuff?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is something that actually did happen, and it was not as well done as it could have been, which is the X-Men Origins Wolverine. I think that is one of the greatest graphic novels ever. I like just the way that they told that story, especially after all those years of us not ever having anything. Hugh Jackman was still Wolverine at the time. So I was like, oh, this would be an incredible thing to make. They're never going to make that. And then they made it, and it was not particularly as great. Now, Logan was fantastic, but I felt like if they put the same amount of effort and energy into Logan as they did, X-Men Origins Wolverine, that would have been great. There's also a book that I read in middle school called The Ear, the Eye, and the Arm that takes place in a futuristic version of Zimbabwe. And the book was actually written when Zimbabwe was still Rhodesia, and the person writing the book still had the foresight to see that that was going to change at some point. Really interesting thing. I don't know. Those are just kind of some things that pop into my mind, but I really want us to have opportunities for these little known projects to be given to people who haven't done things before and make something cool so that it's not Tom Cruise and everything.
Yeah. And I feel honestly optimistic about it, given even if you're just looking at the MCU's track record of what kind of directors they've gotten for these movies. They weren't, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer and Jan de Bont and, you know, Martin Campbell, they were, for the most part, a lot of indie directors, you know, Jon Favreau coming off things like Swingers to do something like Iron Man. Nia DaCosta, who did Candyman, is doing The Marvels. So it gives me a lot of hope that they are kind of finally seeing the light about getting people who have the right perspective and experience and sort of emotional and intellectual connection to some of these stories to really tell these stories right and not just thinking about, oh, who can handle a $100 million budget.
Now, I'm not gonna lie to you. If Michael Bay were not directing something and were in charge of like one scene in a Marvel movie where a bunch of things blew up, I'm totally in. I'm just saying. Well, let's talk about, other than comic books, one of our favorite things, which is food. And I don't know if this is something that you experienced growing up, but I remember as a kid, like, you know, sitting in the car with my mom, and we'd be going somewhere, we pass a restaurant, and I'd say, ooh, can we go here? And my mom would always say, we got, you know, it's like, you got blank money, we got this at the house. And I think I'm finally at a point in my life where I am like, oh, no, we really do have these things at the house. You know, made some Mexican Spanish rice the other day. Had no idea that that was something that could be done at home. And then, you know, I think about things from a much simpler level, which is like a really great sandwich, like, you know, with some toasted sourdough, a little bit of mayo, you know, some mustard, and, you know, fix your veggies. I would say don't give up on yourself and think that, like, you got to go to a restaurant to get some things. There are a lot of things you can do fairly easily. And I mean, I'm sorry that it's taken me 32 years to figure this out.
Well, hopefully your mom will accept your apology. In a related note, it does speak to the kind of foods that I really want when I go out to eat are generally foods I either can't or don't cook at home. So something like sushi, something like Panda Cuisine for that Sichuan Chinese cooking. It's just not stuff that's easy to make at home. And that's the stuff I really seek out, which is why I kind of have a real beef with brunch, because I feel like almost every brunch item I can make at home just as well.
But can you get the ambiance with that at home?
I don't need that kind of ambiance. For me, I've been thinking lately, I've been doing some more private dinner gigs again, and, you know, dessert is always what people expect you to finish on. I am 110% cook and 0% baker. I do not want to bake. I don't follow directions very well. I just can't deal with that level of science. So the desserts that I always fall back on are generally no-bake desserts. And if it involves throwing some cream and a bunch of random stuff into a KitchenAid and mixing it up, I'm all about it. My most recent concoction that I've really enjoyed professionally and at home is a lemon cheesecake mousse. And I've also been able to top it off with one of my favorite pantry items, which is preserved lemons. It gives it a real nice, tangy, sour, salty kind of vibe. So that's where I'm at.
You know, you had me at cheesecake, but yeah. Oh, that sounds delicious. Well, let's talk about some news predictions. I know that you have one for this week.
Yeah, so I, you know, the MCU kind of keeps growing, and because of all of its acquisitions, we're going to hopefully soon rope in more Spider-Man stuff, rope in Fantastic Four, possibly the X-Men. But what I would really love to see, if you really want to get a good big bad in there, let's bring Candyman into the MCU and via Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Now, there is something, if you want to go real horror vibes, let's just go all the way. We already got Nia DaCosta. I'm sure Tony Todd would be up for it. I would love to see Yahya Abdul-Mateen II in the MCU. I mean, he's one of the folks we're missing. So let's get them all in there. We've already got Tiana Paris, who plays Monica Rambeau. She was already in Candyman, so we're halfway there, you know.
And we got Jonathan Majors, so that would be a nice collaboration. Well, I'm going to go a little bit in a different direction in terms of a crossover. I recently learned of a crossover that almost happened in the early 2000s. Two shows that aired on Fox that both took place in the same city of Newport Beach, California. Arrested Development and The OC almost had a very short-lived collaboration crossover episode, but it didn't happen because they thought that it was going to be too meta. So my, you know, my prediction is now that I have said this and I have put it out into the world, people are going to go and read about it, and there will be someone who will finally crowdsource that to happen, and it will be directed by the Russos because they were very heavily involved in Arrested Development. So, you know, maybe we'll get a Marvel crossover through that.
That'd be great. I want to see... Job versus Doctor Strange. See whose magic or illusions, Dad, make it.
I think that would be that would be incredible, and I think Lucille would probably be able to fight Hela as well, or at least throw some shade.
Oh, exactly. And if we bring in Candyman, he can go up against Buster with the hook. It'll be a hook-on-hook fight. That'll be we've got this all sorted out. I love it.
And then, of course, Carl Weathers will show up, so it'll be great.
Yes, please.
Let's talk. Leave us with advice. I'm going to give you the advice that we normally give, which is... The pandemic advice for this week and the next coming weeks is very simple. Please get vaccinated. If you're not going to get vaccinated, wear a mask and stay 6 feet away from other people. Continue to wash your hands and be vigilant because this virus is still out there. This pandemic is still happening. It has begun to mutate. And the only way we're going to get through this is by taking care of those around us and ourselves. So again, please get vaccinated. And if you're not getting vaccinated, wear a mask and continue to stay 6 feet away from other people and wash your hands. Okay, so now that you've heard me say that again, we do have a little bit of some different pandemic advice for you, and I'll let Dan go ahead and go first.
Honestly, friends I've talked to have already started feeling that basic ennui, tension, thrum of anxiety and stress once again. Some of us are having trouble naming it because in some ways, like, you know, the narrative has been like, oh, we got through the pandemic. And it's like, no, we're still in it. And you're feeling the same thing that you felt about a year ago. And that's okay. Let's try to put into action some of the lessons that we have learned in the last year to really take care of ourselves, take care of others. One of the better things that I did for my own mental health is just make it a regular thing to reach out to friends. Like, I literally have a note in my phone that rings once every week or two that says, check in on your friends. And then I just send off a flurry of texts to people I haven't talked to in a little bit, just to check in on them, because I think it's good for everybody's mental health just to keep those connections going. So it's okay to feel what you feel, but let's all feel it together.
And I wanted to just take an opportunity to say thank you, Dan, for doing that to me. And I am also very bad about those things as well. I appreciate it, and I can't tell you what just those small reaching outs have done for me. So they really do matter. Well, on my end, kind of looking at it from, I don't know, the standpoint of like everything is on fire. There are a lot of people that have shown their true colors, very similar to the way in which this happened after the 2016 election. And I think that the same thing is kind of happening in a different way. So my advice is like, look, like capitalism is going to be capitalism. There are going to be people that are going to be trying to be greedy and try to take advantage of people. It is a thing that's going to happen. The best thing you can do for yourself is take care of you. Don't feel discouraged or surprised when it happens. It's going to happen. The best thing you can do is be a good person to your neighbors and other people, and your friends. Just try to do good, and hopefully all of us doing this collectively will at least make some of that other stuff not as loud.
And, you're here.
And for that, that brings us to a close. This has been episode 27 of Advanced D&D, a podcast produced at the University of Kentucky by WUKY, hosted by Dan Wu and DeBron Thomas. We will see you next time. Enjoy, and see you later.
Take care.